Hello, everybody, and welcome to the REScreening.com podcast. I am your host, REScreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me, as always, is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, just because so many people begged us to do it, right, we'll be reviewing Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, a movie that is in the heart of the, I guess, hate month or something.
What
for
a
us, because
crappy month for us.
It not only is it bizarre, and it's not even like specific to us, but it is I mean in a way it's specific to us, but it's a month of, you know, I guess people were looking forward to Independence Day, some people,
right,
or whatever, big,
I was curious
big
about it,
big actiony, yeah, thing or whatever. But the trailers were not exactly selling it,
no,
to me anyway.
No.
They were not doing, I think, a good job of marketing if you were trying to get anyone interested who just didn't want to see stuff explode or really,
right,
cool pictures of aliens.
Yeah.
And it seemed weird to me because the trailers for that movie were almost not trying too hard. They weren't trying to sell you that there's a plot going on. They didn't try to give you any insight to the characters. You didn't even see a lot of the characters ever. You just saw like the characters from the previous movies. You know what I mean? I mean, there's the I guess in a way, the main plot character wise is, it involves people who aren't even, you don't ever see in the trailers, really. You,
right,
might see a flash of their face or,
right,
something, but you don't know why we're watching them or whatever. So anyway, not something that is like kind of summer blockbuster push and everyone was super excited or whatever. And this week, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. It's like a lot of movies that were coming out were just like, well, you know, the animated movies are going to be the thing, and we'll release our movie and somebody won't want to go to an animated movie. And,
right,
so we have something there for them
give
to go to,
yeah,
but we don't need to really sell it that hard.
Right.
Because the people that we're selling to are people who showed up at the movie theater and went, oh, I don't want to see the animated movie, you know, whatever.
Right. Right.
But this movie did not really have like a huge push either. And also not something that you heard a lot of people talking about. You know, there wasn't like a lot of buzz.
No.
Oh, my God, you have to go see this or whatever.
Right.
Next week is Ghostbusters, which people have actively hated on the internet for months,
yeah,
and has, you know, it's a movie that has had to deal with, even if it doesn't think it's legitimate or it wants to kind of write it off as the whole, you know, girl thing, that,
right,
it's that's the reason people don't like it, whatever the case may be. It's had to deal with a lot of serious negativity on the internet.
Yeah.
So that comes out next week, and, you know, who knows, that could be huge just because of all the people, you know, running to the theaters in order to be able to hate it.
Yeah.
So
it'll be
it'll still make money that way.
But it's not going to be a huge success,
but it doesn't necessarily
turd.
Make a,
yeah,
fun week to go to the movies. And then I can't remember after that, I think maybe is Jason Bourne or maybe
it's
something else.
We get a small, if it's good, we get a little bit of a reprieve. But before that, we still have to do with, I mean, this is the month that people hate me.
This,
like,
is the month
we
that
still
time
have to go
forgot.
Through Star Trek first.
Oh, that's right. Star Trek. I was going to say, I know there was some, I thought,
you know,
there was something else before Jason Bourne. And Star Trek, as much as that's going to make a ton of money, obviously.
Probably will, yeah.
It's got the same sort of trailers,
for
me, as Independence Day. It's not especially selling anything except, you know, there's a motorcycle jump and people fall and Simon Pegg's hanging from a cliff or, you know, whatever. It's still not kind of going, look, there's interesting stuff that happens too.
Right.
It's just that stuff blows up and people run and,
yeah,
action, and there's that whole like last minute like transporter thing, and,
yeah,
then they kind of hit the deck,
yeah,
of the thing because like they were falling,
right?
So that's something that already people on the internet have been going, wait, is that how that,
yeah,
works? Like, are you, if you get transported, then are you still falling?
Right.
And, you know, whatever, but still it's a marketing
Don't think about
effort
it.
So far that yeah. has just been like, you know, look at the big ship, look at this explosion,
right.
you know, whatever. It's not kind of selling you on the fact that there's an interesting reason to watch the movie.
Right.
So I don't know. And then finally you get Jason Bourne, which hopefully will pull us out of the
yeah.
death spiral.
It's been weird. This, I mean, as far as like news goes too, I don't know that there's tons of news except like how good The Secret Life of Pets is doing at the box office.
Yeah. That's,
which is good.
It's kind of a week that makes you not want to say the word news though.
Right.
you know, it's not,
right. It's not for other news for non-entertainment. It's
yeah.
It's a real crappy week.
It's not been a good news week. And really there hasn't been a lot because I almost feel like nobody wants to put anything out for a little while.
Right.
You know, it's like, right. we were going to release this trailer or tell you about this movie
thing
that's coming up, and I think
right
we'll wait for like
right.
a week
between. It's just been really slightly interesting to me to see, you know, Ghostbusters is coming out, as you said, and there's like all this backlash, like you mentioned. There's all these people, even though there's an embargo on the reviews, you're seeing and reading, though I'm trying to stay away from it, people do soft reviews, you know,
right,
like
right.
I really think this is going to suck,
right?
You know, and I can't tell you why yet because I got to wait until like
right.
19th,
I can't review it, but I can give it a like,
I can give it a thumb up or thumb down,
kind
or just
of,
a
yeah.
thumb down my throat,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So Ghostbusters has had like this weird buzz around it. Then Star Trek, for no other reason except Simon Pegg and George Takei are going at each other because the news is that
because
Sulu is homosexual,
Sulu is gay, right?
And I'll be damned if I don't see both sides of their argument equally. Like, I actually loved reading this article about it because I think what Simon Pegg had to say, I was like, you know what? If I'd been in a meeting with him, I would have been like, you know, I think you've actually put a bit of thought into this. I don't know if you're right,
right.
about this, but you are certainly seemingly sincere about this. And then I hear George and I'm like, You're nailing this too. Like, I don't even know which, I mean, I care a little, but I don't care a lot.
Right.
And then on top of that, because the next week's film is Jason Bourne and all the stuff in the news that we're not talking about, but you know, all the gun stuff, to see Matt Damon come out and talk about how we all have to collect guns and do it like European nations, the backlash against him because he's made an incredible amount of money off films shooting people with a myriad of guns.
Right.
I'm just watching these storms swirl around all these movies that I'm either not interested in at all or curious about.
It's really like,
and it's really weird that each week's film has like this big thing going on around it.
It's really weird that all sorts of other news, you know, not just necessarily like, police shootings,
like Dallas
or
and
whatever
yeah,
shootings,
right.
all the shootings
Every
everywhere.
Shooting, right.
It's not even just that, but it's like kind of other, you know, just negative news is also in there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden just, you know, the whole collective consciousness of everyone is like, don't say anything about anything.
Right.
Because if you say anything,
right.
there's going to be some backlash
sure.
of,
there's
going to
be a line of
people jumping on
you,
no matter what it is you say, because, you know, even like with the Jason Bourne thing, I mean, I guess I can kind of understand the idea that people are going to give him shit about saying something
sure.
about guns.
Sure.
But it seems like a kind of a leap to say, like, even if we did outlaw guns tomorrow.
Right.
It doesn't mean you never see another gun in a movie.
Right.
I mean, it's not
right.
It's not really the same. It's not like the spies won't still have guns or people in the Old West movie
right,
we
yeah.
make. Won't
There'll be
have
a lot
guns.
Of Westerns. I mean, a lot of Westerns
yeah,
coming
Westerns
back.
Will all
Remember
come
when
back.
Jim Carrey came out and was really railing against films and violence right before he was in Kick-Ass?
Right.
Too? And everyone was just like, wait a minute, you got paid like billions for this.
Right.
And what is your problem?
You yeah. know? And
it's
and
almost like just don't bite the hand that feeds.
Especially since I feel like that is actually even a better case because
yeah.
that is like specifically kind of a vigilante justice type
yeah.
movie.
Right.
Whereas Jason Bourne is
he's supposed
not
to,
exactly.
You know, like what you
know,
said,
I mean,
in a world of no weapons, he'd be given one.
Right. But it's,
know,
but it's, it, it's like if you were in a cop movie.
Right.
Or something, and it's like there still are criminals who have guns,
right.
and there still are cops, and
yeah.
you know whatever. I don't know. I mean,
anyway, I just thought it was interesting that there's so much that each film that's everyone's out seems to have something
on
about
edge
it.
To and jump I, on something.
And it's really like the outlying kind of forecast from just being in the political season. There's
right,
so
right.
much, I don't care which side you're on, there's so much vitriol and bile and, you know, disagreement. And I think it's just permeating everything.
Right.
I expect to be in the grocery store and someone be throwing SpaghettiOs down the aisle and be like, 89 cents, the hell, is, you know. So anyway,
it's
trying to be nice to everybody.
It's going to be really interesting when we
of those
when
three,
we really get close.
Of those three, which are you more interested to see? Ghostbusters, Bourne, or Star Trek? I think it's Bourne.
I'm
right?
only we... interested in seeing Bourne of those three.
Okay.
I kind of want to see Ghostbusters, but I really feel like from what I've already seen of the movie,
yeah.
it has very little chance of doing anything particularly interesting, which yeah. I think is sad because I like some of the people in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Which is just like this movie
right.
that we're reviewing
right.
now. The Star Trek movie, you know, I feel kind of weird about the Star Trek movies anyway.
Yeah.
I think I didn't dislike the other ones as much as you.
I hated them.
I thought they had things that were okay about them,
mm-hmm.
but mostly watching those movies just made me think, make some other space
yeah.
movie. It's like, it doesn't really need to be Star Trek.
Even. Right.
You're just kind of and especially as soon as you make a movie and go, yeah, we're before other things, but we've created the time, whatever. And
yeah.
so now we can do whatever and nothing that we do has to make any sense to any of the other Star Trek stuff that's happened before, because we're in some other time now
right.
or whatever we are.
Right.
Then, you know, I feel like you're just goofy.
Yeah.
I mean, why bother? I mean, yeah. it's like if you, you know, if they started some, made some Batman movie and
right.
said, but now he, you know, got sucked into a wormhole and now everything is completely different from anything you ever know about Batman.
Right.
And he even stops calling himself Batman.
Right, yeah.
but we're
right.
still going to call the movie Batman.
Right.
And
that'd be great.
You know, whatever.
That'd be awesome.
I don't know. It's I just think the Star Trek movies are kind of odd. They're like they're an odd space in like the movie adaptation
right.
universe or whatever, because they went that weird way and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you remember the Bourne films pretty well, or are you going to have to watch one or two or three of them before you see this one?
I think I'm probably going to watch at least the first two. I just recently watched the first one again.
Yeah.
And I was kind of amazed. It was funny because I started watching them because my kid had not seen him, and I'm like, I don't know. He's old enough to watch this or whatever.
Right.
And it just had been forever since I watched the first one. And so I started watching it, and I you know, look it up or whatever, and I'm, and it shows the year, and I was like, what?
Yeah, right.
No, that was
typo. You're off a decade.
And actually, yeah, I think it holds up really well. And
I think
the reason that it holds up well, and I haven't watched the second one again, but I remember really the second one being my favorite one.
Yeah.
But I still need to rewatch that one. But I think the reason that it holds up really well is, you know, as dumb as it sounds to say, exactly the reason that I liked it so much in the first place, because it was so kind of like minimalist, you know, it wasn't, it was like fight scenes that I guess kind of made sense.
Right.
You know, like people didn't hit each other with a frying pan like 15 times and still keep going and going and going.
Yeah.
And it was, there was a lot of it that was really cool. When it's not even, I guess, necessarily a fight scene exactly, but when he's running and he runs into someone that he has to get rid of.
Right.
And it was just like, look, if this guy is like been trained to fight forever and that's all he does.
Right.
When he has to take out like random cop or
that
something,
guy,
that's like a 1 second fight.
Right.
And then that's what they actually did
they do it.
In
yeah.
the movie. And so that was really cool. And
yeah.
it was a lot more of, you know, stuff being kind of tense in a way that made sense,
right,
and people doing things in a situation that made sense. Like when, you know, when he's on the run with the girl and they're in the car and they're, you know, whatever,
yeah,
the things that happen like kind of made sense. Like, yeah, if you run into this stranger,
right,
and this is like how they would act, and it was, you know, actually interested in the characters, yeah, and not just what other car can we blow up in, right, what way or whatever.
No space stations, no underground layers,
right,
no sharks with lasers, which I think I would take a star off for, but still, it's, you know, it's real. So
right,
realistic, but.
But so I'm really looking forward to, yeah, just the idea that they come back with that. Like, mm-hmm, why?
Right.
I think,
from what you
because yeah, I'm naive.
Right.
That it's because they have some actual good,
right,
story to tell or some good
that
movie to make.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I believe right now.
He doesn't seem to be. It's not like a Nick Cage, I'm in bankruptcy, I need to work,
right,
every,
right,
year,
right,
for the next 20. I mean, he's all right, but I would assume it was a good story too.
Well, and that's one, yeah, of the things that, you know, hopefully, like, he produces enough stuff,
right,
that he doesn't have to act to make money anyway.
Anyway,
so
yeah,
he can. He can kind of pick and choose what he really wants to be in. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, before we jump into the movie, I know that listeners are already,
right,
wondering if we're ever going to talk about this movie.
Right. Well, we're getting close to our 15-minute point where we finally do things.
Yeah. But you had people ask you, I guess, about extended Batman versus Superman, and are we going to see it again?
I didn't even the first part I didn't even hit you with, because I knew the answer to myself, and I figure you did too. They were asking. I had a couple people ask me in terms of doing the show. Two things. First, are we going to rewatch Ghostbusters separately before seeing the new Ghostbusters? And I said no. I mean, if it's on, I'll probably watch it while I'm doing something. But I've seen Ghostbusters so much as a kid that I legitimately feel it's in my DNA. There's a,
right,
there's a handful,
right,
of films I never have to watch again. Jaws, Star Wars, The Godfather, things like this. I can sit down and tell you, maybe not exactly verbatim, but pretty close, the whole film.
Right.
So I don't have to see it again. But I think it's an interesting idea to see the film that it's being, you know, remade. But I'm going to pass on Ghostbusters. But then they followed it up with, you guys really didn't like Batman versus Superman. Now that the extended director's cut is out and it seems to be getting near universal acclaim for how much better it makes the film, are you guys going to rewatch that again? And that's what I posed to you when you hilariously and quite definitively said, hell no.
No.
There's no way.
No, I didn't even have to think about that one for a long
time. You really didn't. It was almost like we were scripted and,
right,
you just knew, no, no.
No. Yeah, so the movie...
It's really getting
more
a lot of praise,
more
that.
Positive,
yeah,
reviews, and a lot of critics are. It's not like people gave it, you know, like one star, and now they're giving it like, mm-hmm, nine or whatever.
Right.
But there are a lot of people who gave it like, you know, four or three or something, and, mm-hmm, are now giving it like six or seven,
right,
and are like going, oh yeah, now it's a whole much better thing. And basically, you know, I just call bullshit on that anyway, like right out of the gates.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess if it becomes a big enough thing, like this,
right,
this is what I told you the other night, if it becomes a big enough thing that really people like keep talking about it and everyone just keeps saying, oh no, seriously, you just don't know,
right,
how much better it is. Or I guess if enough people email us and say no,
we are a slave to the email.
We demand
if
that you
know.
Do it, and,
yeah,
we want to know what you think about it, because,
yeah,
we want you to save us the money of going,
right,
to see it again.
You know,
then I guess, you know, I'll have to do it, but
I can't.
I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
And we talked about we talked about this for a while. Like, you know, you have like a movie like this that we both really. Did not like. I think I didn't like it even more
you
than
did,
you.
You were at a two, and I was at 3.5.
I thought it was really kind of garbage. And most of the stuff that I didn't like about it, I don't believe there's a way to fix.
Fix it, yeah.
You can't have...
You really did hate it. I loved it.
You can't have a plot that doesn't make any sense where... you know, just total nonsense things happen right. after the other, and then add more to that, right. and then it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's just that it's longer. It just right. doesn't make sense for more time, right?
And you're a guy who doesn't get real easily impressed with the length of a film. You know, you're more like, look, this is too much. Cut this back. Make it tighter.
Right.
I mean, we both are to some extent, but.
But the, yeah. it's the way that stuff happens in the movie.
I just love
that
the idea.
That I don't like.
I love
right?
the idea of trying to get you to watch it again.
yeah.
Just like when Independence
You're making
Day,
it all up.
No, it's online. I can show it. Just like when Independence Day came out and after we'd seen the film, I was telling every friend that I could, you got to see this. You got to check it out. And my girlfriend was like near me several of these times. And she's like, why are you telling them that? Like, you hated this. I'm like, no. No, this was worth seeing.
No.
And they're like, what did you give it? And I'm like, zero. And they're like, what do you want me to do
but,
this for?
But
I'm
you
like,
have to, you have to see
And
it.
I'm like, it's just like The Ring. Like, I've seen it. Now I got to put it off on you. And if you see it, then I'm free.
Right.
You know, to some extent.
It will suck it out of my mind to a certain extent.
I would think because I jokingly told you it would be like doing a critic takedown of us, like doing it to ourselves. Is there a possibility that this film is so much better? But if you're at two and I'm at two, I'm at 3.5. Presuming that the increase in that rating, like what you said before, you might get to 4.5. I might get to 5.5 or 6. I mean, that's not enough.
That's still not worth
enough
seeing,
to eat up another half hour of my time. That's like it, 3 hours.
Yeah, if there were a bunch of critics out there
right.
and like I said, as time goes on and more people will,
yeah.
you know, add their voice to this and, maybe it's just very lopsided right now.
Right.
Maybe it's a bunch of people who really wanted it to be good and right. hoped it would be a lot better and had like this investment to do it. But if as time goes on, there are a lot of critics who gave it a really low score.
Right.
And they start giving it
higher,
like a pretty high score. I mean, I doubt anyone's going to go all the way to like a 9 or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, then I guess I'll have to see right. it and go, well, I mean, what
after Peter Travers or Rex Reed calls you and is like, look, you got to give this another shot.
Yeah.
You get a hold of me. I'll consider it.
Right.
I got to tell you, honestly, though, I'm curious. I'm curious about it in a way.
I'm curious about it too, except I'm curious about it in the way where I just want to watch those 30 minutes.
Right.
I don't want to watch
right.
them.
So anyway.
I don't want to watch them spliced into the whole film, especially because, like I said, the things that I hated about the movie are a character does something that character would not do.
Right.
Or we have like, you know, this really goofy explanation of how Lex Luthor gets to whatever.
Right.
Or, you know, it's just dumb the
right.
way they get to fighting each other at the end.
Yeah.
You have to basically believe that they're both kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And what are you going to add that
yeah.
makes that not how we got there
Nothing.
In the first, that
Nothing. You can't
changes the way
I know
that.
It's not the same example, but it is as close to one as I think reasonably exists both in the genre and in the medium, because the problems with the original Superman aren't that bad. Did you ever see the Richard Donner cut? Did you ever see?
No, I don't think
so. It actually does make the film better. Like in a really weird way, the stuff that's cut kind of enhances stuff that seemed very strange and weird in a subtle way, not in an incredible way. Because Superman's not a bad film by itself. But again, superhero film, additional scenes, better film. I mean,
right.
still, I'm just trying to sell you on it because I want you to
yeah,
see it
I
and
don't
tell
know.
Me.
I think though that the. Like the original Superman
yeah.
movie, I think is actually pretty decent
yeah, it yeah.
on its own.
Very much so.
Mainly because it's actually not that serious about itself. You know, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's not, it's obviously a way different time of making movies about superheroes and
right.
stuff. And now, you know, there are a couple of different kinds of movies that come out, right? Where there's like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's just like fun and
right.
crazy goofiness. And it doesn't think that means that it doesn't have to make sense.
Right.
Like what happens.
Yeah.
But it's not trying to be like, you know, the next Godfather movie. Like, we're going to turn, and not that superhero movies can't be really awesome movies or something, but you know, sometimes you just kind of got like delusions of grandeur or something.
Check out the Donner Superman cut, the Superman 2 Donner thing. It's actually really good.
Yeah. I'll get right on that. Okay. Before we jump right into the movie, we're going to take a quick break for a second. There you go. That was a second. We're back. Mike and Dave need wedding dates, and we have to jump right out and give our stars, points, whatever, because that's what people demand we do.
Yep.
And I'm going to make you go first because I've gone first a lot in a row.
I think I'm going to surprise you a little bit.
I hope you're not going to surprise me too much.
I think I'm going to surprise you just a little bit. I'm going to give this a 4.
You surprised me a lot.
Did I? My four is probably a little bit more lenient in some ways than
you might as well just go buy this right now.
than the immediate reaction gives. But I have a little bit of an appreciation for what they were trying to do. And in some way I was trying to think of it the way you think of films, which is, and you always find a way out of it, but you know, what's the film trying to
you
do?
You always
what's
find the, a way to cheat
film,
your own
you
system.
Do. What's the film trying to do? What's it trying to become, and how successful is it trying to be that?
Right.
I actually, you know, it's interesting. This film looks so much like it wants to be Wedding Crashers, which is kind of meta in a way, because they reference it in the
they
film.
Talk about
They're very self-referential about it. But I don't necessarily think it really wants to be that. In essence, this looks like if comedy movies had like a family reunion, this is like a cousin who looks up to Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle so much. And the jokes that it tries to send versus the jokes that actually deliver, though it's really off, because I think Harold and Kumar is really fun and surprisingly effective as far as, you know, that kind of disposable comedy goes. This one just misses almost every time, but it's got and it's not why I'm giving it a 4, but it's got like an enthusiasm for trying. Like, it's really throwing a bunch of stuff out there. And the problem is, as we'll get into more, that it's just missing the key components to start with to make those attempts really land in a way that things like Harold and Kumar are more successful at.
Yeah.
So let's hear your.
Yeah, I give it a 2.
Yeah, I knew you were 2.
And so I'll tell you how I get out of it, because I know that everybody who listens to us has gone way back to the very beginning and listened to our podcast where we talked about how we come up with our numbers. And oddly enough, I'll just throw this out. We actually get a fair number of emails, like, you know, thrown out through like a 6-month period or whatever,
about
asking us exactly that question.
Oh yeah.
And I keep going, hey, go listen to this thing.
We can recap it,
and you can get the whole scoop, because you know, that's like a thing that people ask and want to know about about critics. Like,
that makes sense.
If you're giving things 4 stars, what does 4 stars mean?
Right.
And, you know, the last 3 reviews I read of yours were all 4 stars.
Right.
Or I've read every review you wrote this year and nothing was 4 stars.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. Right. Like, how do you come up with your thing? So we have a whole podcast dedicated to that idea. And I'll tell you how I get out of it with this movie is the, you know, my go-to getting out of it thing.
Yeah.
I just deny that this is anything
interesting
to try to do, especially because of the way that they do it. As you're going through this movie to me is just like, you know, The Hangover 3.
Right.
It's just some guys who got together and said, I bet we could get a studio to pay us to go on vacation. And now listen, Aubrey really wants to drive ATVs around.
Right.
So you got to throw that into the movie, and you know, whatever it is, I mean, it's just, it's so much of it. And the really bad part of it is there are so many huge lengths of film where you go through like a giant amount of time for a comedy movie like this. Anyway,
right.
You go through a giant amount of time where no one's even really trying to do anything funny. People are trying to do stuff that's like really stupid and obnoxious.
Right.
And maybe someone is like a big fan of Beavis and Butthead and will laugh
right.
at that or whatever. But nobody is behind the scenes of this movie. And it's like you throw crap out and there's someone in charge of going, yeah, that's not actually funny.
Right. Right.
Because they go, well, I don't care if it's funny. I want to do it. I mean, it's like they all got really drunk and it was funny then.
Right.
So now we're going to do it because,
Mark,
because it's funny to you still the next day.
Right.
Because you remember it being funny when you were drunk.
It's based on a true story. Like that's your go-to. There were things about the film, you know, in typical us fashion, we rate something high, we trash it. We rate something low, we praise it. Like there's a weird thing here. There's not a whole lot. It stinks in every way it could stink. Like it's
yeah.
just the characters aren't believable. The relationships aren't tangible. There's no real motivation until later in the film when it kind of attempts to be like summer camp motivations of like, I really like him, so I'm going to change.
Right.
Like, but the players are by themselves and away from this project quite likable. I don't have much of an opinion on Zac Efron, but everybody else kind of away from this. Like I like Aubrey Plaza. I like, you know,
yeah,
Anna Kendrick
is good.
And on and on.
And the guy who I don't know his name, but he's on Modern Family.
Right, yeah.
And he's like the boyfriend,
yeah.
You know, whatever. And actually he's been in a couple of other movies.
Right. They do things like the scene. This is the problem with the film. It loves Harold and Kumar. It loves Wedding Crashers. It loves Bridesmaids. And it says, let's take that further. Let's go further than that stupidity and that gross out. And we'll just get laughs because
by being a different kind of stupidity,
you paid
yeah.
to come in. You don't really believe, you know, David Copperfield's making a Statue of Liberty disappear, but you paid for a show. So believe the show, that
right.
kind of thing. When Aubrey Plaza and Anna Kendrick try to land Mike and Dave, and they walk across the street and her great plan is to get struck by the car.
Right.
That's, I mean, it elicited laughter all around us. Everyone was having a really great time. And I'm a sucker for pratfalls. I
right.
almost chuckled at it.
That,
I thought, who in their right mind now would want to go to Hawaii because they were quadriplegic? Cause that would never,
right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be in the real, real, real world. But if you're going to tell me that I'm going to make him love me because I'm going to hit him with a frying pan until he sees cuckoo birds
right.
and then I'll tell him I saved his life, like this, if that's the vein that you're going in, I can often buckle in and go down that road with you
right.
but you better just nail all the dumb goofy attempts that you do. The problem here is even when I walked out of it, I felt like an overarching like total like like
right,
it didn't.
Right.
It just didn't make me laugh.
And it did have a few
but
times
it,
that made you laugh.
There were several right. little scenes independent of each other that I was like, man, that's really funny.
Right.
Do that.
Right.
Keep doing that. And then it almost just cut and let the second AD put his, you know, scene in. And it just did these weird things. It's so disjointed that it never gets a momentum for what really the strengths of it should be.
Right.
And that's, I mean, it's not frustrating because I didn't have high expectations for the film. I was there to have a little bit of fun, and it
yeah.
gave me exactly what I wanted, just a little bit of fun. And that's why it's below average for me, not because
I don't believe.
But
it's so far below average. Give me a break.
I think I'm focusing more on the individual scenes than the cohesion of
yeah.
it. If I focus on the cohesiveness of it, I'm probably at like three.
It's really.
But I'm like, there were funny parts. And the
right.
comedy, like it did these things. But it just doesn't do them well enough.
It's so much, like I said, you know, with The Hangover, it's so much of an industry movie
yeah.
that there are.
It is.
It's like the Melissa McCarthy movies, you know. It's like they get made because she says so,
right?
Right? Not because anyone read anything and thought, yeah, that is funny.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is just like the most horrible thing to watch all the time because I can't get that out of my mind
right.
when I'm watching it. And
yeah.
When I'm watching a really bad Melissa McCarthy movie and it's not doing anything good, it'd be different if they actually make something that was good.
Right.
But as I'm watching it, I just can't get it out of my head that there is no reason this got made except that she said so. No one would have ever made this movie on its own, like without her, you know, being in it,
right,
and being and putting it out there. If she had written the script and sent it into people under a pseudonym,
right,
you know, no one would have ever picked it up.
Right.
And this movie is so much the same. Now, this movie still actually might have gotten made because these movies will get made, you know.
Right.
But this movie got made because certain people were into it. Certain people said they would do it.
Right.
Based on no script.
Right. Just the idea.
Just based on like a
right.
little bit of a summary.
Yeah.
And there's so much of the movie too that, like I said, you know, the part you're talking about where she gets hit by the car, you know, last night when we were drunk, that made sense.
Right.
And so we threw it out there and now we're filming it. And there are a few people around the set going, you know, maybe she does something else and gets hurt.
Right.
And they're like,
right.
nope. It was a car,
yeah.
and that's hilarious. And she jumps right on the windshield of the car,
right.
and whatever. And you know she's fine,
right?
Like you know, if we had some reason to believe that she was, had 100 hours of stunt crew work
yeah,
or something,
right.
and we could buy that. But the thing that is awful about it is there is like a moment when that happens where it's so outrageous,
right.
that it is actually kind of funny,
right?
Right? But there are so many
right.
other ways that
yeah.
you could do something similar where I like the idea actually that, you know, these two idiots basically like come up with a way to like game the system.
Right.
And there's already this, you know, they've already been like on the Today Show or whatever it is.
Right.
It's not like they just saw the ad on Craigslist.
Yeah.
It's that it's already gone super viral and everyone is trying to get this free trip to Hawaii.
Right.
And they come up with a way to work around the general theory.
Yeah.
I think that in itself is cool.
Right.
And there's lots of stuff you could do with
there's
that.
There's a lot
right?
of possibilities. Yeah.
And there are a lot of other things that you're watching it and you're like, this could be funny.
Right.
But it seems like they just don't care. To really try and figure out making it funny. It's like a lot of this movie is kind of like watching Stripes. If it was made by people who are like, whatever, that's kind of funny.
Right.
And not,
kind of just,
and not
yeah.
made by people who go, no, wait a minute. Like you have
really,
to make this
yeah.
scene work in the exact right way. There's one part with like the lesbian cousin and mm-hmm. Aubrey Plaza are in like the sauna.
Right.
That scene should be hilarious.
Right.
And it's just because just working yourself off the general idea, you
right.
can make a scene that is hilarious
and
they just kind of like lazy their way through it. You
yeah.
know,
I've seen that hilarious scene. And strangely enough, not that everything ties back to Melissa McCarthy, but in Bridesmaids, she's the lecherous lesbian or bisexual cousin. That scene plays off better. And fundamentally, here's the overall problem with the movie. That Aubrey Plaza is like a sociopath. You know,
right,
she has
right.
She has these tinges of like, I'm afraid you'll leave me. So that's why I do stupid things to keep you here.
Yeah.
And I get that as a motivation, but that's real kindergarten,
right.
You know, kindergarten stuff. But in a thing like Bridesmaids, where Melissa McCarthy is so forward, and it's not that she's overweight or unattractive or anything someone might assign to her. It's that she's exceptionally forward.
Right.
You know, and the guy that she's going after is playing it straight. In this scene, you have two sociopaths.
Right.
And neither of them are backing down. The outcome is just some Rihanna tickets. So there's no payoff. And you wonder, like, where is the contrast here? Because really, they'll both go to whatever length they need
right.
to outdo the other, because now it's just a pissing contest. When it was done before in Bridesmaids, it's hilarious. In that film alone, I had cramps from laughing. I thought
right,
that was
right.
a riot. And like what you said even before in this, like with that easy scene of her getting hit by the car, the movie would have been so much more, well, at least in my head anyway, because I'm writing it. It would have been more fun and entertaining if she was just a little selfish and then she did this thing to try to get attention. And now she becomes kind of sociopathic on this trip, and hilarity ensues.
Right.
Because now
right.
when there's a bright light that flashes in front of, you know, she's going to a wedding, maybe there's photography, there's sunlight, maybe she just has like a weird twitch and she becomes somebody else. And she gets into trouble or steals. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to go through this instead of make a world of stupid people. Not the audience, but in the film, the parents are the only smart people in the whole thing.
Right.
Like when she gets hit by that car, and I don't even know if it's Mike or Dave, but whatever.
Right.
It's Dave. Zac Efron must have like top billing. So it must be Dave. He's telling a crowd of hundreds that he can save her. And no one in that audience has ever seen a CPR film or anything.
Right.
Cause he's doing a bunch of weird things. But yet when he like slaps her a couple times and pushes her lips together, everyone applauds. Like, and I'm like, okay, we are only in an island.
We're really in fantasy land.
We really are only in this place where these people exist. So let's just go with it. And then that makes that harder later when there are sincere moments that they try to play.
Right.
Just hollow. Like, I'm like, oh, this is the part where you have to do this. This is the part where you go away.
And everyone in the movie is too far. And
like
I said, there are several scenes where, you know, it's just they can't figure out the scene. But, you know, even with the stupidity that they have, everyone in the movie is too far. Like, even at the beginning when the girls – have to go to work and they show up drunk and stuff and then they get fired. I mean, they got fired years ago and never got the job in the first place because they're so ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're so far to one side of, you know, wouldn't it be funny if there were idiots and they got drunk all the time and, you know, whatever. It would be really funny. I mean, no, but
absolutely. But those people are annoying.
But then we have to put them in places and, you know, it's almost like somebody watched Arthur and thought drunk people were funny and didn't understand why Arthur works or why that, you know, whatever. Just like, I don't know, he's drunk all the time and it's funny. So just get some people in there drunk all the time and it'll be funny.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, you know, have you seen like a lot of really drunk people? They're not that funny.
If you're the only sober one around a lot of drunk people, there's no humor.
Right, exactly.
There's just frustration and where do I put bodies?
But but even, you know, like a lot, there are times when we laughed. There are times that
there are some funny things.
There are times that I laughed mostly really close to the end. Like I didn't laugh for a really long time.
Right.
But we eventually get to some parts that are kind of funny, but there are so many wasted scenes that you have to sit through that I guess they think are funny and that potentially are funny. Like I said, you know, that sauna scene that should be hilarious and they do it completely wrong. There's another scene where the wife at the wedding gets a massage and gets like the full treatment because Anna Kendrick slips the guy a couple hundred bucks or something to let her have a happy ending massage or whatever. And that seems just like a cartoon. It's so overplayed and silly. And like, you know, we look up at her with her face in the massage table, and like her eyes are crossed and she's practically drawn like a goofy cartoon face. And all of the stuff that he does, like, again, it's supposed to be funny because it's like outrageous and like so far over the top of nonsensical,
Indian masseuse guy doing, you know,
and it's
the shock,
but it goes so far that it has no way to be funny anymore.
Right.
It's so goofy that you're just going, will this end? I mean, I get it already.
Yeah.
And can we do something else? Because it just doesn't pan out.
There's a thing in films that we've talked about before. And the easiest one for me to remember goes all the way back to when we saw Ted, the original, when Ted is at the grocery store and he's on and on and on. And then he finally pushes the line. And he goes, oh, okay, that's it. That's where we are. All right. Now I know the line.
Right.
There's this thing that's been happening with, you know, these Judd Apatow films, and I enjoy them to an extent, but it's almost like, let's find out what's funny and then carry it 30 seconds past that.
Right.
Just keep pushing, because at some point,
if we find out what the limit is and we go farther, that will also
then that
be funny.
That defines hilarity, because in essence, we're past funny. You know?
Right.
And the problem with that is there's no restraint for what is actually funny.
Right.
You know, there's just a pursuit of excess.
Of
and that doesn't
being
work.
Outrageous.
Because you can
right.
take any scene and take it to excess, and it doesn't ensure that it is what you want it to be. And people don't seem to get that now, but I admit there are times where I'm trying to think of one in this film because I don't think there was, where a little less would have been more funny. Because sometimes when they did push, like the masseuse thing is a perfect example, because almost when I thought they were going to stop, I was having fun with it.
Right, exactly.
And then like 20 or 30 more seconds, I'm like,
that scene like builds up.
Right.
In a way that is really mm-hmm. on the way to being very funny. What's like as opposed to the sauna scene, which is never funny.
Never funny.
It's right. just, it's the theory of it has gone completely wrong from the beginning. The right. masseuse scene has a lot of buildup to it where it could have been really funny. And I think part of the problem with that is that when you're making a movie, that scene is only so funny. Like
right.
if you theoretically right. do that perfectly, it's only pretty funny,
right?
Right? It's
right.
not like we have to be rolling in the aisles,
right.
and then it only exists so that the brother can walk in on it, right?
Right? Exactly.
And it's only supposed to be kind of funny when he starts like lubing himself up at the beginning,
right?
That's like that's on the way to really being funny.
And then
they just go, nope, but what you do is you just keep going forever.
Right. right.
Until like we run out of film.
Right.
Like
yeah.
do something
try
weirder.
Everything.
Keep
right.
keep doing weirder things. Yeah. Like pretty soon like animals are gonna
right.
he's gonna bring something
right.
else into the room or whatever. Because it's just we're just trying to go more forever and that will be
seriously,
funny.
Seriously, I agree. I seriously expected them to cut away and come back and have him eating like a Subway sandwich.
right.
the product placement throughout the whole movie anyway. I expected him to just be sitting there reading a book, doing some chess.
Right. Because
it's supposed to be fun, but not to that extent. And when Mike comes in and sees her, sees his sister in this act, that also, like, he should see her be scared, puzzled, react, and then leave.
Right.
Not,
but they do that
not
for like 15 full
puzzled.
Seconds.
He does
right?
three, like, double takes.
Right.
They go back to her. She does the googly eyes. They go to the Indian, who's in a new position, sliding all over her.
Right.
Go back to him. He's doing four more double takes. She's got more googly eyes. This just heavy-handed attempt to make what is funny. I want to say, like, I don't see how that can be funny, but I'll be damned if everybody around us wasn't, like, gasping.
People laughed at a lot of parts
yeah.
Throughout the whole movie that, you know,
and,
just made me sad.
And to
frankly.
Some extent, this isn't highbrow. This isn't no highfalutin kind of attitude. I'm not looking down my nose past someone, but I guarantee they don't see five movies a year. I guarantee it.
It made me sad.
Yeah.
It made me sad.
Yeah.
For right behind us, there were a bunch of young people, and I
yeah.
was just like, ah. And, you
yeah.
know, that's the thing. Like you said, I bet they haven't seen five movies.
They just don't see that.
I mean, if you're young enough and yeah. you haven't seen any funny movies,
right.
then you'll go, well, this,
well,
I've been told,
you know,
this
right.
is a funny movie
you're
going
about
in.
To, you're about to turn around and be like, okay, look, watch Annie Hall. Like I want a book report on Woody Allen.
Exactly.
Like, this is humor, you know,
right.
and they're just like, what? Shut up. You know,
yeah.
like get out of my way. That kind of thing.
But like you said, you know, so we're like focusing on that scene. If that scene would have just had him lube up,
right?
Because it's just hilarious.
It's hilarious
that
when
he's
takes
so nonchalantly,
yeah, and he just starts putting it all over
down,
him.
And just he's like, yep,
funny.
This is just a day at the office, and that's
one.
Really funny. And
yeah.
then you got to have like a little bit, and then you have that one part where she like goes, "Are you even touching me?"
Right.
That
yeah.
was funny.
That was funny.
But
mm-hmm.
then it's just if you take a funny scene and make it 10 minutes longer.
Right.
Then obviously that equals being funnier.
Right.
And if it's funny that he like lubes himself up, then if we do like 10 other outrageous things in the same
right.
scene, then that's funny too.
And
they do that throughout the whole movie.
It's probably
and it's not
sorry.
Funny.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's probably like what you said. They literally ran that until they shot it digitally, but they ran it till they were out of time.
Right.
I guarantee
there's like 20 more minutes of that.
I know. I guarantee. And you're right about that too. And still that means you just edit it. You take the best
right.
6 minutes of it or 3 minutes or whatever. I guarantee they both were like, look, we've got the trust. We're just going to do this scene. And she's like, sure, I'm butt naked. He's butt naked.
Right.
Go. And then they just improvised all of it.
And then
they went, that's funny.
Well, we just have to keep doing that.
Because they
right.
did it. And how can we not share with the world the scene that never gets seen?
Right.
You know, and that's not a good enough reason to put that in the movie.
Right. Especially in the way that it shows up.
But you're right. It does start off funny and then it precipitates into near hilarity with some stuff that he's doing. And then you're just like, oh. That's the line. Now I'm not laughing anymore. Now I'm waiting for you to be done.
If I just have to keep watching it forever,
right.
Is it still going to be funny? And it's weird, you know, the way that it's just trying to push extremes, like with Ted, the movie, right? Or even like, what's that cowboy one Seth MacFarlane did?
Ways to Die in the West.
Yeah, there are some things in that that are funny, but that movie has the same thing. And, you know, maybe Seth MacFarlane just has that thing in general, but that movie has the same thing where it's like you take something and it's a funny idea, and then you go, but we have to make it more...
We have to make it uncomfortable.
More ridiculous or more whatever it is that we have to make it. And I think the counter to doing that for me is Amy Schumer. Like watching the show Inside Amy Schumer, because she, you know, she goes like across the line and it's funny, but she just, you know, goes, you didn't think I'd go here.
Right.
And then it's funny because it is outrageous.
Yeah.
But then she doesn't, you know, take like 20 more steps.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And just keep doing it on and on. It's just that her comedy is kind of across the line most of the time. And a lot of the time it's just, you know, goofy things where she is all of a sudden stumbles into this lunch thing where Tina Fey's there and they start talking about orgasms or something.
Right.
And it's like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And it's funny that she goes across the line, but she doesn't, you know, turn something that's funny for like a minute because it's across the line into like a 25 minute thing that just never ends.
Right.
And there's a lot of the stuff that potentially should work in this movie. That's where all of it falls apart for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's weird as the movie finally progresses enough. There's even the stuff that's funny, when it's good, it's not original.
Right.
When it's original, it's not good. You know, like there are some scenes that are actually not too bad.
Yeah.
Like when they're fighting behind the scenes and they don't realize their mic is on. And then they start saying a whole lot of stuff to like the whole wedding party.
Right.
And some of that stuff is pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's not anything I haven't seen before.
Right.
It's not like they invented having the mic on and you don't know it and giving stuff away, but it is still that's a pretty decent part of the movie. It's just that it wants us to, you know, kind of think, I don't know. It wants us to think that they're doing something more than they are, other than just doing something that we've all seen 1,000 times. But again, I guess if you haven't seen 1,000 movies,
well, that's it. And I don't think that excuses it for those who have seen 1,000 movies. Like I'm not giving it a pass because it might be the girls behind us first time.
Right.
You know, but I am, and I agree, like that's another scene that was working. And then they cut that thankfully much shorter. That could have kept going.
I think the farther you get in the movie, the better they did at that.
Because
as you get past like 3/4 of the movie,
it's getting
all of a sudden they start going, well, we don't have time to beat everything to death now. We just have to get stuff out and finish up the plot because the movie can only last so long. And then all of a sudden you go, well, wait, but now it's funny.
Right. A lot of times comedies start so strongly. And then peter off because then they have to resolve this weird story about their parents or their high school reunion, whatever.
Right. And they barely try to be funny anymore. Right.
Right. And then they do whatever ties up the story. This one, I agree. It was kind of funny, not in the very beginning, but it's kind of okay. And then it gets a little funnier. But the movie progressively gets more funny, more comedic, the later it goes.
Right.
And then suddenly, like when it's getting its real rhythm, when it's got its real pacing, it's done.
That is just like suddenly over. And this is a movie, seriously.
That's not funny. You know,
this is a movie that, oddly for this movie, because there are so many things that it just beats to death and you have to watch way too long. And then when the movie's over, you're like, what? Like the movie just goes, we're out of money. Boom. Right.
Done. You love her. You're with her. You'll give him a chance.
End the
home.
Film. Yeah. Yeah. It was like the last 20 minutes of the movie are like 20 minutes of filming.
Right.
Like it was right. just like, bam, we're done.
Yeah.
And, but most of that end stuff that happens in the movie, it's so funny to kind of watch the creation of it because all the stuff that happens in the middle, the stuff that happens in the beginning, they've got all this establishment they're trying to work through. We have to sell the whole story of why the parents and the sister don't want them to come unless they have dates. Right. So we have to kind of build up all this establishment. And so we kind of go things fairly quickly because they've got a lot of stuff to try and get you to understand. They're wild and goofy, older guys who are too old to be as crazy as they are.
Right.
We see all the video of stuff that they did at previous parties
which
and
kind
stuff,
of fun.
Which was
that was
kind
pretty
of fun.
Funny in places. Yeah.
And then we have to get to the idea of putting an ad on Craigslist for like a free trip to Hawaii to be our wedding dates. And they've got all this stuff that they have to actually get information across to you. So they don't have time to just do things forever.
Right.
Then we get to the middle of the movie and they're like, we only have so much filler for this dumbass story.
Right.
So just let this scene run forever. And then it's awful.
Yeah.
And you know, they're like the key scenes that we talked about and even like the, going on the ATV thing and her, you know, the bride's face gets all messed up, which, you know, if you're drunk telling stories the night before, that's funny
that's
stuff.
Hilarious.
Right.
Yeah.
And, it could have even been kind of funny to a certain extent because, you know, look, they're screwing everything up again.
Right.
The girls did the big ATV jump, so they felt like they had to do it and doing whatever on the Jurassic Park tour, which was kind of funny.
That is kind of funny.
And then even the parts, you know, where we start to get more towards the end when he's going to put the eye drops in the drink, which happened in Wedding Crashers, so that they can talk about Wedding Crashers, so that Zac Efron can say that ingredient hasn't even actually been in the stuff for like 20 years, but it worked in Wedding Crashers, and you know,
the defining thing.
And a lot of that stuff was pretty good as we get to the end, but all this middle stuff, they're like, we have tons of time.
Right.
How many ideas do you have? Right. Not that many. Well, then we'll have to milk them all for everything we're worth. And if this movie would have taken that middle chunk and said, let's come up with like 20 other funny ideas.
Yeah.
So that we can stick short, funny ideas into all the stuff that happens. Because if it, for a comedy like this, even compared to stuff like The Hangover, in a comedy like this, if you pull it all apart, there's actually so little that happens there because all these jokes go on for so long that there actually isn't that much stuff that happens. Like if you look at The Hangover, like something different happens every couple of minutes.
Right.
I mean,
they're constantly moving.
It might not be good stuff.
Right.
It might still be bad stuff, but they're, you know, they're throwing something else out there. They're not just sitting there like staring at the monkey for like 20 minutes.
Right.
And it goes on and on.
So it's like that. I mean, I know we're getting done with this, but it's like the scene where, you know, they're like, what are we doing today? All right. Today's Tuesday. We're going to sit in the hallway and you guys are going to be gross and cruel and lewd to each other just to get a room key.
Oh, like whispering whispering in the ear part.
I mean, that's going to be,
that's another scene. And it's a really good example because that's not anything that's going to be hilarious no matter what you do. But that's a kind of a funny gag for like a minute.
And
they just keep going. And it's like, if you just do it more, it'll be funnier.
Right.
If you keep talking about it and won't let it drop, that's funnier. And if you get, you know, kind of like more and more crass, if you start getting so suggestive and lewd that you lose track of what you're even saying and what it's supposed to mean, then that will be funnier and just keep going. It's just fun. Another thing, everything that happens in the movie. All right.
I've talked you into it. I'm good.
No,
you really, like
you it. Have talked me into not understanding your four.
I thought it was
because you didn't talk it up the way you're supposed to. You were supposed to be telling me all the great things
the
whole time.
It's below average, but it's not horrid.
Yeah.
It's not, it was funny.
You only
me.
Gave it a Dude. 4 because we saw Independence Day last week.
You're
like, it's so much better
still
than
have that.
That
Sandberg film, Can't Pop and Don't Stop and Drop and Drop. And I've got that. That was bad.
Yeah.
This wasn't bad. This was just bad.
Yeah.
This was,
you know, I'll give you that. I'd rather watch this than watch that again.
Man,
so
pop star, rock star.
Yeah.
You know, rocks.
Never stop. Never stop.
Yeah, that's it. So all right.
So next week is Ghostbusters.
Great.
So
I've been waiting all summer.
Be sure to tune into that. I know there's no, everyone's going to see it. That's the magic of what Ghostbusters has done.
Yeah.
Right. I think Ghostbusters, all the people who started really hardcore complaining about Ghostbusters were all paid by Ghostbusters to do it.
It's a neat trick if it
works. And they purposely made, they got like a focus group to figure out the worst song they could have. Like, they had like 20 versions of that song and played them all for people and just picked the one that they thought was the worst so that people would be pissed.
Yeah.
And then it's all marketing. You don't understand the conspiracy involved.
I hate that song so much. I hate that.
It runs so deep. The brilliant marketing conspiracy behind
it. I love the Bobby Brown
this.
Ghostbusters 2 song like a billion times more.
Yeah. Anyway, but it is interesting anyway that
I hate this.
Everyone is going to go see this. Everyone who there's any chance in hell, they will go see this, right? I mean, my dad's not going to go see it. But other than that, right?
Yeah.
Anyone who there was any chance at all, they're either going to see it because they actually think it's going to be good.
Yep.
They're going to see it because they think just like the nostalgia of it will be interesting to watch. Or they're going to see it because they want to get the exact fodder for their hatred and you know, some details that they can spin out so that they can say, see, it's exactly as bad.
That's where I'm at.
And at the end of the day, everyone's going to go see it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no point to us reviewing it. It's review proof because if you give it a good review, people will go see it. If you give it a bad review, people will go see it.
Yeah.
They'll take your bad review and say, that's why I have to go see it.
Right.
I mean, it's foolproof. It's marketing genius.
I wonder how many people we get to see or to stay away from a movie.
None.
I know there's someone out there.
We're
reaching
no
somebody.
Difference
We're reaching
at all.
Someone out there.
All right. So anyway, that do not go see Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. I don't know, unless, I mean, people were enjoying themselves.
They were really having
fun
with it. So
if you really think that you will like this movie, you will probably laugh a few times. At the very least, even though neither one of us rated it very highly, you'll laugh at something.
You will.
Because even
It'll
we laughed
you.
At something.
It'll get you
right?
at a couple things at least.
There are a few things, and even some of the really outrageous parts that we didn't like, right? Even those parts will get a few people.
Sure.
And, you know, I wouldn't really hold it against them either because they're silly and you know,
you don't
just
see that stuff very often.
Right. And some of it's funny. Now, some of it I will hold against them because some of it is just being obnoxious.
If you think the best part of that film is the hotel key scene, then our conversation is done.
Right. Anyway, and so, like we said, next week we'll see Ghostbusters, and we're going to get out of here. Please share and
you're just not even looking forward to Ghostbusters now.
You
I
can't
just,
even
I
get
it.
Through
I
the end
the
of the show.
Yeah.
Please share, rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.